This is such a beautiful gospel. There is so much going on in it. There are just so many different layers that the Lord has inspired St. John to put down. And there's drama to it, but all of it, the church says there's stuff here that's so important for us to be looking at and welcoming into our hearts during these days of Lent. So I want to open it up and immediately jump to how we might apply it to ourselves as a way of appreciating just an awful lot of what's going on in the gospel. I want to do that with five questions that we can ask ourselves from this, questions that are drawn from some of the different characters that are in this gospel scene. So the first question, and this flows out of what's going on with the Pharisees. Are there areas in my life where I think I see, we're talking spiritually here, are there areas in my life where I think I see, that is, I have faith, but do not? Are there areas where I am resisting God as the Pharisees do? The Pharisees are absolutely certain that they know everything that God is doing. And so they're so quick to judge. The man who was born blind, you are a sinner. The one who did this, who healed you, he is a sinner. We don't know where he's from, but over and over again, they make it abundantly clear that although they are certain that they see rightly, in fact, they're totally blind. Some of the different passages here, they say of Jesus, this man is not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. They don't believe that the man born blind gained his sight. They declare of Jesus, we know that he is a sinner. And they say, we do not know where he is from. And then at the very end of the passage, they say, certainly we're not blind also, are we? To which Jesus says, you think that you see, but you don't. And that's why you're in sin. And so we need to ask ourselves, are there areas in my life where I am resisting God and am just closing shut my eyes tightly and I'm refusing to see what God is doing and wanting to do in my life? That's one really important immediate application. A second question. This is from the point of view of the man born blind who's healed. How is God using my struggles, my suffering, to bring me to a place of deeper faith? The disciples see the man born blind, and they say, Lord, who sinned that he was born blind? They, as did the Jews, as we often do, they see suffering, and they immediately want to go to the question, who can we blame for this? We do this so often. It's the classic way that we approach suffering. Who can we pin the blame on for this? And Jesus says to the disciples, it wasn't the sin of the man. It wasn't his parents' sin. But Jesus says, how about instead of assigning blame, how about looking at this man's sufferings and asking the question, how is God going to be glorified in this? This is a radically different way for you and me to approach our suffering. But this is huge in this gospel passage. Jesus says this man's blindness is ultimately in order to give glory to God. This is just a foreshadowing in a certain sense of the cross. The way that the Lord takes an act of terrible innocent suffering and uses it for his glory. What is going on in your life right now in terms of suffering, hardship, where you maybe you've spent years trying to pin the blame on someone. If only my parents had done this or that. If only my spouse hadn't done that. The situation, if only at work it had gone differently. And maybe all the while the Lord is saying, don't pin blame, but rather ask me, Lord, how are you working through this suffering that you would be glorified and that you would do something in me that would bring you glory. A third question. Are there, and this is from the parents of the blind man, are there areas in your life where fear is holding you back from a deeper relationship with the Lord? In the gospel, when the parents are questioned by the Pharisees, they'll only say two things. We know that he is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But everything else, we don't know how he sees, we don't know who opened his eyes, none of that. And St. John tells us that they said that because they were afraid. Because the Pharisees made it clear that anyone who would begin to publicly acknowledge Jesus as one from God, certainly for, as the Messiah, that they would be expelled from the synagogue. Where in my life is fear keeping me from living out more fully my relationship with the Lord? A fourth question. This also then is drawn from the man born blind. What is your testimony to God? When someone is asking you to share with you, why would you put your faith in him? What is your testimony back to the Lord? That when the Pharisees press the man who's been healed, at this one moment, he says very beautifully, look, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. It happens very often in our life that there are people who maybe they've drifted from the faith or they've had some negative or bad experience of the church and they walk away and they say to you, why are you still going to church on Sunday? Why would you get up at 7:30 a.m. and go to Mass? And what that person probably most needs is not some high theological explanation for why you're here. What they really most need probably is from your heart what God has done for you and why you're still here. That witness, that testimony is incredibly powerful. And every one of you, the Lord has done things in your life that you know only he, only his hand could work. And those are gifts not just to you alone, but they're also meant to be gifts that you can share with others. Like here we are 2,000 years later, still talking about the man born blind and his healing. And that clearly was a gift, not just for that man, but we receive faith from what the Lord did to him. What is your testimony to God? And that classic kind of little elevator speech, if you had 30 seconds or a minute to share with someone what the Lord has done in your own life, where would you start with that? What are the good and beautiful things that he's done where you could say, look, I don't know about all the other stuff. Here's what I know, that this is what my life looked like before Jesus. This is what it looks like now. What is your testimony to God? A fifth question. Do I appreciate the tangible, sacramental, and often messy ways that God is at work in my life right now? You know, the Lord loves our flesh. He deliberately chose to take on our human flesh, to be born in Bethlehem, because he wants to make his love visible. He wants his salvation to come to us in very real, concrete, tangible ways, because you and I, we only live in the flesh. We only take in the world around us through our senses. And in this gospel, in a really messy way, Jesus heals the man by spitting into the dirt, making mud and clay out of it, and then smearing it on the man's eyes and telling him to go and wash. In the life of the early church fathers said, wow, clearly what we see here is the Lord reprising what he did in creation when he formed man out of the clay of the earth. And now he makes clay, smears it on the man's eyes to heal him, to restore him to where he should have been in the first place. But it's messy. And very often, the ways that the Lord comes to us are messy. And we maybe think, like, could he really take simple bread and wine and change it into himself? Could he become real by starting with bread and wine? Does he really want to forgive my sins through the ministry of a priest? Does Jesus really act through the priest? Yes, he does. But for some people, it's like, I can't believe that he would do that. Does he really use regular water that he pours his Holy Spirit into to become the source of new life for us in baptism? Absolutely. He does all of these things. And from our point of view, it can be a bit messy perhaps at times, or we might think it's beneath God, but it's not. He loves to work in these sacramental ways. This is one of the things I love about our Catholic faith, is that it acknowledges and it gives room for that incarnational principle to continue, even now, especially through the sacraments. So the question, am I appreciating all of those very real, concrete ways in the flesh that the Lord wants to be at work in my life? These are five questions that we can take from this gospel and apply back to our own life as we keep moving closer to Easter, asking the Lord to open up the eyes of faith in our hearts. Are there areas where I'm certain I see, but in fact I'm blind? How is God using my struggles to bring me to deeper faith and to bring him glory? Are there areas where fear is holding me back? What is my testimony to God? And do I appreciate the messy ways that God comes to me and works in my life even now? Let's pray for the grace to ask those questions and go deep into all that the Lord is wanting to do for us through this beautiful, beautiful gospel.